This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. In the municipality of Prince George, we are 2 years into the creation of our OCP, or Official Community Plan. On Wednesday, March 19th, 7 p.m., a review of it will be held in council chambers at City Hall. The public is invited to attend. Amidst all this is an ongoing effort to recognize the area we know as Ginter's Green as a park. Some of the land is designated as a park, some is not. In this segment, I'll speak to James Steidel, a volunteer with the Ginter's Green Forever Advocacy Group, and Mandy Jones of the City of Prince George's Planning Department. We'll take you now to a coffee shop, speaking with James about the group's efforts to have their desires fulfilled within the OCP, or Official Community Plan.
Ginter's Green Forever, how would you describe it?
We're just an informal group of concerned citizens that are advocating for Ginter's Green specifically, and a little bit more generally, some of the green space surrounding Ginter's Green and like the escarpment above it. We kind of got fired up by the for sale sign that you could see up on University Way there, right by the university, and that was a private parcel of land that I believe is like 150 acres that has been for sale. It may have been sold recently. We're not quite sure. The sign has been taken down, which is owned by Allura Developments. And, you know, that kind of got us thinking, like, geez, that's a big chunk of land right on that steep slope right above Ginter's Green. That's going to be developed potentially. And we were like, that's something that this city needs to talk about. So that was kind of in the back of our minds. And then we looked at the official community plan, and we noticed that there's like roads on the road network map that want to put roads through Ginter's Green, and one of them wanted to extend Massey Boulevard right up that hillside through this person's private property. So, you know, that would really add a ton of value to that private property that the rest of the public would be paying for. Up a very unstable slope. I mean, let's not forget that University Way went way over budget as a result of the unstable bank there. You know, we just basically wanted those roads off the map, and we wanted a discussion about the future of Ginter's Green and the properties around it. So at the time, we were told that this could be facilitated through the updating of the official community plan. So this is basically the end of that process, and we're ready to approve this new official community plan. And basically, we're not happy with it. They took the roads off the road network map that we're going to go through Ginter's Green and go up the hillside, so that's positive. But actually, a lot of the land where that road right-of-way was going to go is still zoned for roadways.
From the coffee shop with Mr. James Steidel, we move over to City Hall.
We're here today with Mandy Jones, Manager of Development Services at the City of Prince George. Can you provide a description of what untitled land is, essentially?
For sure. Anything that doesn't have a legal description, every property that you would pay taxes on, or any property that you would live on as a residence, has a lot one, lot two, you know, Caribou District Plan, that would be considered a titled, where you have an actual land title description. Road dedication is just, it does not have that description.
In the area we know as Ginter's, there is a section that is designated as untitled road designation. Here is Ginter's Green Forever advocate James Steidel describing that area.
Where the old Ginter Mansion is, that is technically zoned for park. And some of the hillside along the trail as you go towards Foothills is also zoned for park. Right? But that main meadow right below Ginter's Mansion is not zoned park. That's city-owned land zoned for light industry. And we want the city council to direct city staff to change that zoning on the map to parkland, which, you know, I don't know why they're so hesitant to do that. I don't know why it needs to be even asked.
Okay, heading back to City Hall, speaking to
Mandy Jones. I'm the Manager of Development Services with the City of Prince George.
At this point, there's been a number of public consultations, public hearings. The official community plan has more or less been made. Now we're in the stage of presenting it to the people. Is that an accurate summary?
That is an accurate summary.
Within our community, we have a green space. We refer to it as Ginter's Green. It's not officially a park, but people have used it as a park. But then the official stated use of this property, it's still kind of a gray area. And there's a lot of interest in having this area made as a park. Is the official community plan a good spot for concerned residents to insert their concerns about this space, what they want to have happen with it, that kind of thing? Is this an appropriate avenue?
For the official community plan is typically policy, and it directs and guides council and the city on what to do with next steps. With respect to Ginter's Green, comments have been received. We've had a lot of consultation with Ginter's Green, so we've been able to modify and update the mapping system of the official community plan with respect to that. The current location of Ginter's Green is located in a road dedication, so it's an untitled property. So to actually create park, it has to be a titled property. So it would require a undedication of the road and to create a legal parcel.
Yes, absolutely. This is the time to come in and make comments. With that said, we have no plans on changing the actual Ginter's from road dedication at this point in time. Should council direct us in that way, administration would review. And it sounds really ultra officious, and I am so sorry, but when we're looking at I'll go to 12. You'll see that.
So we're looking at the future land use plan maps, which are also virtually available through the City of Prince George website.
Right? That is correct, yes. And we can see that it's white.
Yes, right.
It's untitled. It's just road dedication.
Yeah, okay.
For future road.
So the area of what we refer to as Ginter's Green, the more southerly section, which is connected to Massey Drive and Ferry, is whited out. It is untitled, which is to say
it's road dedication.
The white section could transform into gray, but just as easily as it could transform into pink or green.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And should
it's the stem cell of bland parcels.
It totally is. It could go anywhere. Yeah.
Gotcha. So when the city was planned out originally, that area was maybe the city didn't know quite what they were going to do with it, but to be able to make it compatible with any type of future use, you untitle it so that you can do what you need to do with it into the future. Essentially, and having it untitled allows for a road to be built, I don't know, anything.
Yeah.
Basically.
So it was planned out that should Prince George reach a certain density, that we would need another road system to help collect residents and move residents through the city.
Right.
And so this foothills all the way down to Massey would be like another road system to connect. So for this here, this is actually a future road. But we've developed it into a park. There's infrastructure there. At this point in time, it's only identified as this color because it's untitled road dedication. So surrounding this is all identified as parks and open space. And there's one portion that we couldn't designate as parks and open space is because it's road dedication. So we have indicated that on the official community plan, future land use plan, schedule 12. And then the portion that's white is just untitled road dedication.
So within Ginter's Green, there is a section of untitled land that advocates would like to see transition into park designation. To the west of that spot is the escarpment below University Drive and Tyner Boulevard, and a further forested area on the other side of that roadway. James Steidel illustrates the group's concerns for that area.
Now, further up the hill to the south of Ben Ginter's mansion, that becomes private land. Basically, where Shane Creek is, everything on the other side of that is private land, where a whole bunch of trails go through that you can walk up to the university. And that land is currently, in a future land use map, zoned as AG Greenbelt.
Agricultural zoning.
Which we think should stay that way. We don't want to see that land rezoned for residential use. that should be part of the park. Maybe we do some kind of long-term land purchase down the road, but for now, that land should not be zoned for residential use. And one of the issues with this official community plan is that even though that the future land use is zoned for agriculture greenbelt, the urban containment boundary designates that as being where the urban area will expand to. So there's a contradiction in the two future maps that we want to see dealt with by City Council after the public hearing. Then and there's more practical things as well, like the forest above Ginter's Green is cools down the bowl, right? Some of that air comes across that forest as it goes down a hill and it creates a cooling effect. You know, development up there is basically in the urban wildfire interface zone. So we're exposing more of our infrastructure and more of our property to catastrophic loss from wildfire. So this, as a community, we have a right to make a decision about that because it's our money that's going to be used to basically service these new developments. So that's why this urban containment boundary is really important and why it needs to be changed to protect and take that piece of land out of the urban containment boundary that's directly above Ginter's Green.
Back to City Hall with Mandy Jones.
So within the Schedule 1 growth management map, there is a future growth area, kind of goes out to the corner of Shane Lake on University campus to an extent, things like that. How are these future growth areas designated? Is that done with consideration to input from the OCP plan? Do you want to describe that process at all and what it looks like?
Absolutely. So during the development of the map, we took in consideration existing as priority. Where do we have our existing densification? So that piece is the same as the previous official community plan. The areas for future development may have been expanded based on knowledge of applications, knowledge of things that are occurring in the areas, and that the forecasting of growth in that on those locations.
Is there a priority on infill development versus expansion, or expansion versus infill? How does that look?
So there is a priority on infill and densification, and that is very heavily prevalent in the OCP and very focused. So we wanted to make sure that this OCP really contains the growth of the city, because the city's boundaries is 329 kilometers squared in area, which is incredibly large. And due to the age of our infrastructure, we've got our sanitary and water and storm, we're at a point now where we're having a lot of aging infrastructure, right? So what we want to do is try to maximize the use and the efficiency of that infrastructure in areas, so we're not having to spend more municipal taxpayers' money to help fix and repair. We'll still have to do that, but sometimes we can pair it with developer driven. So as an approving officer for subdivisions, I'd say that we would have a subdivision occurring in this area here.
Over in the northwest corner.
Sure. And if we have a subdivision occurring, then what we would do is we have bylaws in place that says the developer needs to put in water, sanitary, storm, sidewalks, street lighting, roads, right? And those are done by the developer. And after a year, we would monitor to make sure that we would inherit that and it's to our standard.
So that you then don't have to incur further costs
to
then upgrade what was installed in a future Austin Road development area or something.
Yeah. However, if we're having new buildings and development occurring, say, on the Crescents, then where we're increasing our housing stock, creating new housing stock, that also is a benefit as well, that infill through densification, creating some more, maybe there's two or three residents actually within a house, according to the provincial housing. That also helps as well, because instead of just one single family house on that pipe, it would be three units or two units on that infrastructure, which creates a little bit more efficiencies.
In summary, with the Ginter's Green Forever group concerned about an expanding urban containment boundary and the city itself stating its focus on infill development and densification, we can hope to gain clarity and learn more about these seemingly aligned priorities at the OCP Review Open House held in City Council Chambers, 7 p.m., Wednesday, March 19th. If you're not sure whether your comments are valuable, Mandy Jones has this to say.
I just wanted to thank everybody who came out, provided all those comments during the surveys. The OCP is only as good as the comments we received. So I just wanted to do a special shout out to everybody who did that.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.